One of the most important classical economists in England was David Ricardo. He started out as a stockbroker, following in his father's footsteps, joined the family firm. He retired from being a stockbroker at a young age, having amassed enough wealth to live on and become a gentleman of leisure, and was on vacation with his family and tried to do some light beach reading and picked up Adam Smith's An Inquiry Concerning the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. Ricardo was riveted, absolutely riveted. And so for his retirement career, he took up political economy. Ricardo developed a strong correspondence and working relationship with Thomas Malthus. And in many ways, Malthus's population theory arguments undergirded Ricardo's theories, but at the same time they were also antagonists in certain ways, and so they both very actively wrote letters back and forth to newspapers, various periodicals, and so they had this very lively public epistolary working antagonism that was a healthy and constructive one, and generated a lot of idea exploration, a lot of new knowledge. The Napoleonic War is going on. So in about 1804, with the British blockade in the English Channel, and then Napoleon's response to the British blockade of their continental system that basically said, all right, if you're going to put a blockade up against French ships in the English Channel, we are going to close all of our ports and all of our market towns to any kind of British merchandise whatsoever. That meant that their traditional import of wheat, or grains more generally, as they were called at the time, corn means grains more generally, their traditional imports of wheat from places like Russia were interrupted. And so a lot of the increase in wheat prices was being felt by the poorest workers, the poorest residents in England. And one of the other consequences was that those who grew wheat and sold wheat were profiting very handsomely. So some parties are arguing for trying to find substitute imports of grains, and farmers and landowners, who also themselves are often either members of parliament at this time or very, very friendly with other members of parliament at this time, do a very effective job of implementing in England in 1804 corn laws. And the corn laws basically impose a tariff on any imported grain. Taking this idea that price is determined by wages, rents, and profits, how does that high rent to land affect prices? This is Ricardo's argument. And how does that affect income and wealth distributions? Because if people who consume bread and are paying higher prices tend to be lower income workers, and the people who are receiving the higher prices are landowners, Ricardo is concerned about the income distribution that's implied by that impact. So he wants to build a theory. And what he's going to do is he's going to take the economist Turgot's idea of diminishing returns. Turgot was finance minister briefly in France for Louis XVI, and was friendly with the physiocrats, and developed a lot of new ideas. And in the late 1760s, he wrote a piece where he developed this idea of diminishing returns. Turgot more generally thought of diminishing returns in terms of land, and that the more land you bring under cultivation, that incremental land is not necessarily going to yield you as much per acre as the previous ones did. Ricardo takes Turgot's idea of diminishing returns and runs with it. He starts by defining rent as the original and indestructible powers of the soil. Ricardo's idea is that the land itself, this fixed supply factor, this fixed supply input into production, has original and indestructible characteristics that contribute to the production of commodities, agricultural commodities in this case, and that the return to land is the return to these original and indestructible powers of the soil. So he builds this theoretical model with two inputs. And the two inputs are land, and this land is going to be a fixed factor with no alternative uses other than growing crops. And the other input is a composite input of labor and capital that I call man with shovel. The idea with man with shovel is obviously, you know, labor plus capital. If you hire another worker, that worker is not going to increase agricultural output unless that worker also has a shovel. Right, so you can think of this as a fixed proportions production function where each unit of labor is paired with a unit of capital. So man with shovel. This is what Ricardo's question is. What happens to the rent that accrues to the indestructible powers of the soil as you introduce successive doses of labor and capital? So notice here, this is he's not developing it in the way that we've come to develop it, but he's very much using a marginal analysis here. What he ultimately is going to argue is that because labor and capital are more flexible and are more easy to increase, where land is in fixed supply, that if you think in terms of the split, of the share of national income that's going to go to wages, rents, and profits, that because land is in fixed supply, it's always going to be the scarce resource. And so rents are going to increase as a share of national income. And so that's his concern when he thinks about the distributional implications of these protectionist policies such as the corn laws. So the policy implication that he draws from this is pretty straightforward, that reducing trade barriers, reducing import tariffs, allowing for free trade will reduce those, what he sees as artificial augmentations to the rent that accrues to land, and the shift of the share of national income from labor to landowners, to land. And so that's Ricardo's argument in his rent theory for a free trade policy. In the 1830s, the Anti-Corn Law League was established by some of the classical liberal policy makers of the day, Richard Cobden and John Bright, and they worked vigorously for a decade and ultimately got the political coalitions they needed to, and a change in government, to bring about the repeal of the corn laws in 1846. And Ricardo's rent theory and his theory of comparative advantage both laid the theoretical foundation for this political move towards free trade and lower barriers and lower grain prices.